I'll just grab a handheld. Thank you so much. Praise God. Yeah, Chris, if you'll just lay that one down for me, I'll pick it up if the mic starts to get too annoying. Unfortunately, you can't turn me off if I get too annoying, but the mic we can turn off. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16? Acts 16, and we're going to begin reading at verse 18. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 18. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Acts 16 and 18. Luke, the great physician, recording the missionary journeys of the great apostle Paul under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he writes, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Let's go on to verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Praise God. Praise God. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the midnight hour. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today that we have the blessed assurance of knowing that you're always with us. But Lord, that wondrous guarantee of your presence does not mean in this life we will not face circumstances and situations that will be painful and difficult. But Lord, it is your wonderful presence and the knowledge of it that makes any situation we may find ourselves in tolerable, endurable, and it makes us, your presence, makes us able to be overcomers. Lord Jesus, today I pray that you'll build faith to the one who's in the midnight hour right now. Lord, I pray that you'll open our spiritual eyes today, Lord, that we may reach out in faith today unto you, which you will always honor. And Lord, that faith is our victory. And that faith will manifest in the natural, our victory, if we will but keep believing. Lord Jesus, have your way today. I humbly ask for the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit today to minister. Lord Jesus, have your blessed way today. Have your blessed way today. We just want your will and your way. And we'll for that, for you granting your presence and giving us revelation today, Lord. We don't want any glory for ourselves. We want it all for you. And we'll not fail to give you all that praise, honor, and glory. And Lord, I just sense a wave of the Holy Ghost that has hit this building now. Have your blessed way today, Lord Jesus. Bless and encourage and strengthen each and every one with the strength and courage that can only come from the throne room of Almighty God, a strength and courage we do not possess in and of ourselves. But when we reach out to you in faith, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will give us grace and you will give us victory and you will give us strength and you will give us power. And Lord God, for that, we rest. We rest in you. Have your way today, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I was watching TV this week. This was, oddly enough, on the Daystar Network. And I'm not going to go into details. Maybe some of you saw it. But the salient point was they had on a renowned preacher on the show, him and his son. And the son was just standing there, extolling the father and how all of these millions of ministers would give anything to spend 1 hour with his father so that he could teach them how they could be master preachers and so forth. And I just thought, how sickening this is. I thought, there's a lot of great ministers in the world today, and I respect them. But you know what? I would rather spend 1 hour with the one who anoints them than spend an hour with them. Amen? I want to spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 hour with him is worth more time than any second with any other human being on the face of the planet, no matter how much God has gifted them. And I thought, as I was preparing this message, I thought, Lord, that's a lot of our problem in the modern church. We put a lot of our faith and trust in men. We put a lot of our faith and trust in organizations and their abilities to help us out. And I said, Lord Jesus, again, take me deeper in you. Teach me to anchor my faith and trust in nothing but you and what you've done for me on that cross. Don't let me waver from that, because church, I'll say it again, it's worth saying 1,000 times. As he hung on that cross, when he said it's finished, he purchased for you and I and paid for everything you and I are ever going to need. It comes through him. It doesn't come through a man. It doesn't come through a church. It doesn't come through a religious organization. Every blessing, every good and perfect gift we're ever going to have comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad. Yes, give the Lord a hand of praise. The Word says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It means our spiritual focus must ever be on him. And as I looked and thought again about the cross preparing this message, God the Father could have taken the pain and suffering away from the Lord on that cross. But it was his will. The Bible says it pleased God to bruise him. Because we must understand that the cross was first for God. We don't often think of the cross of Christ that way, because we do derive all of our spiritual benefit from faith in what Jesus did there. But the cross was first for God, because God can't bless sin. God cannot relate to sin. So the cross was first and foremost the sacrifice of his son unto him to allow him to do for us all he wanted to do. Does that make sense to you? The cross was first for God and secondly for us. And that's why the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It was for God that the first act of the cross, Jesus' atoning work, it was for him. And we are the forevermore, praise God, the benefactors of that atoning work. We must know that with our faith anchored in the cross, like the old song says, we're never alone. We're never alone. And God could, if he wanted to, remove all of the pain and suffering that's in this world. The good news is one day he's going to. That's the good news. It's going to happen one day. Hallelujah. That's the day we look toward. I've talked to so many folks this week at work, and some of them are believers, who are just, depressed over this last election. I thought, my Lord, what's wrong with y'all? Did y'all think Mitt Romney was the Messiah or something? He's a Mormon. We had a choice between a cultist and a Muslim. It didn't matter which one of them got in. There ain't nothing going to change. They don't have the power to change nothing. I'm not going to walk around in defeat over who's in the White House. They can't do nothing anyway. Praise God. Yes, you should have voted your conscience for whoever you felt the best candidate was. But because if the particular candidate you voted for, or if Romney didn't win, don't walk around depressed. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. Jesus Christ is the king of this world. He is in control of all things. That's nothing to be depressed about or worry about. Like, oh, God, what are we going to do? Obama got 4 more years. Well, we'd be crying the same thing a month from now if Romney'd got it. Oh, do you know what he's trying to do? He's a Mormon, folks. Get over it. Get over it. Oh, I'm preaching a whole lot better than y'all letting on this morning. The point being, Jesus is in control of everything. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. Amen. And I don't care who's president of the European Union. I'm talking about his caring in the sense of letting it get me down. Look, folks, Jesus has told us, this word tells us, there are certain events that are going to happen to this world and are happening right now that are going to throw it into a total state of chaos. It's going to happen. I don't care who sits in the White House, they're not going to stop biblical prophecy from taking place. And I had all the Obama people with me there for a minute. Now I'm going to probably make them turn against me. I believe Obama's going to help usher in the Antichrist. I believe it was God's will to put him in the White House again. Whoa, God, Pastor, what are you saying? Because God is working his plan. It is God who sets up rulers and puts rulers down. And God is in control of everything. So don't get depressed over who's in that White House. Take joy, for our redemption's drawing nigh. Jesus Christ is about to appear. Hallelujah. And we're going to make a visit to somewhere that's far greater than Washington, D.C. We're going to stand in the sky with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a glorified body. Look up. Our redemption's drawing nigh. Hallelujah. But sadly for the child of God in this life, and I've preached this before, we're going to face difficulty. But I wish the Word of Faith teachers were right. Lord, I wish they were right. But this Bible so proves them wrong. When they say, if you have enough faith, you'll never suffer anything bad, or you'll always be healthy, you'll always have plenty of money in the bank, you know, you'll have a Maserati in your driveway, and whatever else kind of junk this world can offer, that's all going to fade. You know, I don't care how much you have in this life. Nobody's taking a bit of it with them. You're not taking one thing with you when you leave here, materially. So why, you know, why should we focus? Those of us, we have greater treasure, those of us that have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have treasure where moth and rust is never going to corrode or corrupt what we have. Hallelujah, what a glorious day we have to look forward to. But in this life, and this scripture that we read this morning proves it, even to the choicest of God's servants, there's going to be very hurtful and difficult situations that are going to occur in our lives. We're not exempt from that as believers. The Lord never promised we would be exempt from it, but he promised he'd never leave us nor forsake us. As the Lord was giving me this message, and again, I'm glad I don't know. I've got enough. Can I be selfish for a minute? I got enough going on in my life I got to deal with without dealing with everything that's going on in yours. You know what my job is as pastor? Is not to solve all your problems or try to commiserate with you over what your midnight hour is. It's to lead you to the one who's going to be with you in that midnight hour. He's going to be there all the time. Pastor Greg ain't going to be there all the time. It tickled me. My brother-in-law, Roger, came down for, we had a little party for Tara on her 18th birthday yesterday. Incidentally, she got a new job. She's working today. Good, she needs to pay that car insurance. Whew. Anyway, Roger was talking with me about this particular lady I used to pastor. And I asked how she was doing because she's one of those entertaining members, I like to call them. I mean, she's a sweet lady, sweet lady. Most of the time, she could be real mean sometimes if she wasn't getting all she wanted or thought she should have. And Roger was telling me, I asked how this lady was doing. He said, well, she's doing pretty good. He said, she's mad at me right now. And I said, no, why? And he said, well, she got sick one day last week or a couple of days, and she got mad, called me up, and chewed me out because people from the church hadn't come by to bring her meals. And I thought we chuckled about it. I said, we Christians in America, I said, we're such babies, ain't we? We are. The things that get us down and the things that make us stumble and commiserate with one another and the people we look to. Man is going to let you down every time. And this sister, she would call me sometimes. What would crack me up is her and her husband loved to travel. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, you retired, and I know, you know, you've worked hard all your life. You've got a right to go, you know, travel around if you want to. I mean, I saw the pictures on Facebook. I thought it was wonderful where Dave and Connie a few weeks ago got to go to New York City, didn't you, Connie? And she had a picture of Carnegie Deli cheesecake on that Facebook. I about ate my computer. I mean, if you've never had Carnegie Deli cheesecake, it's like an angel dancing over your tongue, man. I mean, this is good stuff. But anyway, that's great. That's wonderful. But anyway, the sister and her husband, they love to travel. And what would crack me up, she'd call for prayer for her husband all the time. It'd be like this, Brother Greg, yes, sister, I'm not going to name her name. Yes, sister so-and-so. I want Jens to be praying for, I'll call him John. John, he's real sick this week. He can barely walk and get out of the bed. And I wanted to call and let you know we're not going to be there this Sunday. We're taking a trip to Oregon. We're going to drive out there. So just, we chuckled about it. I loved her. We chuckled about it. But yeah, she'd call in with some grave disease that either her or her husband had. And immediately after that, let me know the reason they were going to be at church the next 2 weeks is because they were going to be traveling all over the place. You know, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, sister, you don't have to make this. I don't think she's making it. I don't know, but it couldn't have been as bad as she said, or else they couldn't have got out of the bed most of the times. But anyway, she was mad at Roger because he hadn't arranged for meals to be brought to her house. And I thought, my Lord, help us. Help us in the church. You know, I mean, to get mad at your brothers and sisters in the Lord because they haven't, that's holding them in bondage and holding them in hostage. And it's doing nothing but dragging you down. But sometimes we're going to face some being light with that. We're going to face situations in this life that are going to be much more difficult than that. As we look at the text we read this morning, we find the great apostle Paul and Silas, and no doubt Luke, the physician, was with them as he wrote the book of Acts. And they were at Philippi, and they were preaching the gospel. Paul obeying exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ had told him to do. And as they're preaching the gospel in Philippi, and no doubt seeing tremendous results for the Lord, there's a lady who the Bible says had a spirit of divination following them. And as she followed them, and the Bible says this went on for many days. We're not told how long it went on, possibly months. And as she would follow them, she would say, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They preach unto us the way of salvation." Now, man, that sounds like it'd be a good thing, don't it? I mean, you look at statements like that on the surface. And as I was preparing the message, I thought, we Christians, God has to give us more spiritual discernment in this last days. We've got to quit being so spiritually gullible. We've got to quit being so spiritually quick to everybody who names the name of Jesus to want to think that they're right with God. Because this lady had it was a demon spirit that was speaking this. Satan will use the name of Jesus if it suits his own purposes. This was a demon spirit that was speaking through this woman. And the Bible says that because she had this gift of divination, that she brought her masters much gain. She was making people rich through this demon spirit and its ability to soothsay and to operate in seemingly great spiritual gifts. The truth behind it is that in the Greek text, it literally meant she had a spirit of a python in her. That's literally what it meant, the spirit of the python. It came from that in the Greek text because the Greeks believed that Apollo, one of the Greek gods, defeated a great python snake, and that's how he gained his great soothsaying abilities and spiritual powers. And the Jews, the ones who should have known better, who the Messiah had come through them, were believing the same thing. Why? Because this lady made them a lot of money. I tell you what, religion will always follow money. Religion will always follow money, and money will always follow religion. A lot of people getting rich in the United States of America today off of religion. But as this lady would follow them in their attempts to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ, she would shout this out at every meeting. These men are the servants of the Most High God. They show unto us the way of salvation. Now, the King James translators could have been more exact in their translation of what this lady was saying, because in the literal Greek text, it states, these men show unto us a way of salvation. What's the difference there? Note it. A way of salvation. There's no definitive article there in the Greek text. In other words, what she was saying, these men are showing us one of many ways to be right with God, the heart of universalism. And it sounded to the natural ear as if what she was saying might be spiritual. And the Bible says this went on for many days. And I, you know, knowing Paul and studying his life and his personality, I can't figure out why he didn't address this situation sooner. I believe I know, because for some reason, the Lord was not allowing him to. He obviously had the discernment to know that this woman was not of God, but for a protracted period of time, the Holy Spirit won't let him address it. Possibly because the power of the gospel was going forth and this lady was not being that much of a hindrance in the meetings. And then the Spirit of God was moving. But there came that day in God's timing when he saw this woman must be stopped. And I can just see this in my mind's eyes. The great apostle Paul, you know he had to be preaching the cross. He's probably in the middle of the town square preaching a message on the cross. And then in a moment of silence in his message, this lady stands up and says it again. These men are the servants of the Most High God. They show unto us the way of salvation, which really meant a way of salvation. And this time the Holy Spirit grabs the great apostle and he tells her, address it. He tells him, address her now. There's been times in my ministry, and Dennis and I have talked about this. I saw him earlier. He's probably in the nursery, isn't he? Listen, okay. When I shared with Dennis about a situation that I was in at a former church, and I knew something was bad wrong. I knew something was bad wrong. And he'll bear witness to this. I'm not trying to give you one of those Kim Clement-type prophecies where after the fact you tell everybody what went on. Chris, you know what I'm talking about. But Dennis will verify this. I told him, I said, Dennis, and the Lord didn't reveal it to me at that time, except other than the fact something was bad wrong. Something was bad wrong. And I said, but the Lord is telling me not to deal with it right now. I don't know why. But I said, I don't know specifically what it is, but I know something's bad wrong. And I learned from that why God in his will and in his way, he does things in his time. And if we'll obey him, he'll work it all out for us to where it'll come out good for us. And I understand now, looking back in retrospect, in that situation, why the Lord did not have me to address it. For at that time, I would not have been the one to address it. Matter of fact, probably nobody would have listened to me, to be honest with you. But in any event, the same thing was going on in the ministry of the Apostle Paul concerning this demon-possessed woman. And on this day, she stands up and makes that statement again, and the Holy Ghost tells him, now you address it. When we do things in God's time, good things are going to happen. And he turns and wheels in the middle of his message and says, he speaks to the demon spirit and he says, you come out of her right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that instant, the demon spirit left her. Now let me show you something about the heart of a religious man. You would think that a human crowd seeing that type of spiritual power on display would have immediately recognized, this is a man of God. We'd better listen to what he's saying. No, what do? They become angry with him. Why? Because he's cut off their money. Because they had a choice between truth and money. And most in this world, even in the so-called church world, are going to follow after money rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to follow after popularity rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to follow after their own way of salvation that they have conjured rather than following Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And they become angry with Paul over casting this demon out because now they can't make as much money as they did before. Think of that. And what do they do to this man of God? This is a man of God, one of the greatest to ever walk the earth. They take him and Silas, and they beat him mercilessly. with whips. And then they take them and cast them, the Bible says, into the inner prison. To understand the prison system at that time in Philippi, it literally meant that they were cast into the lower middle portion of the prison, which is literally where the city sewers run right through the cell. And the Bible says they chained them in stocks to the wall in their hands and feet, Paul and Silas. In this dark, dank dungeon, really, they find themselves. I want to ask you an interrogative question. I want you to think back to a time in your life, and I believe it's happened to everybody who's ever followed the Lord, probably more than several times this has happened, when you suffered for His name's sake. When maybe you lost a promotion or lost a job because they knew you were a Christian. You lost a friend. You lost whatever over taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you suffered hurt in your own life for doing so. That's a tough concept, isn't it? Even for those of us that are Christians. I know that the Lord had to work on me, get a lot of religion out of me, because we all like to think of ourselves as being pretty good folks, don't we? We like to think of ourselves as being so nice and sweet and kind and loving Jesus. Why would anybody want to harm us? Satan hates us. He hates the child of God with a perfect passion. Why? Because that child of God is a continual reminder to him of his defeat and how he is powerless to touch that child of God. He can't cross the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's covered by the blood of Jesus, he cannot touch except God allow him a certain amount of latitude into that individual's life. But when you're hurt for doing what is right, for doing something God told you to do, it takes somebody who the Lord has to really shape and work on spiritually to get them to understand why they're suffering for doing right. Because the times I've suffered in my life for doing what was right, I haven't fully understood it. I'm ashamed of the way I responded to it, to be frank with you. But that's what I love about what we see here. And it's one of the spiritual truths, I believe, the Holy Spirit wants me to bring forth today. And that Paul, who was doing nothing but what the Lord Jesus Christ had called him to do, and doing it in a mighty way, obeying the Lord in toto on everything he was told to do, now he finds himself beaten to near death, he and his friend, Silas, and chained in the worst part of the Philippian prison. Man, I got to wonder what went through his mind then. But you know what? I can't compare my mind to his because he was so much farther along spiritually than I was. And the Scripture reveals that. Because as they're sitting in that dark, dank dungeon with open sewage running through it, chained to the walls of that prison for no crime at all, doing nothing but obeying the will of God. My Lord, don't we think, in our mind condition to think you obey God and you do what He tells you to do and you're going to be blessed? Well, that's true. That's true. There's coming a day when we're going to get rewards for everything that we have done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we really didn't do it anyway. He enabled us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to do it. And He'll bless us for it for all of eternity. That's coming. That is coming. You will be blessed. But it's always not necessarily true in this life that we'll experience that immediate blessing for doing what God's told us to do. Paul didn't. Now, can you imagine if you apply Word of Faith teaching to the Scripture we've read this morning? Apply it. Well, Paul just didn't have enough faith. If he had the faith, he wouldn't have wound up in prison. They'd have given him money if he'd had enough faith. If he'd have preached right to them there in the town square and believed God for his prosperity, why, even the sinners would have given him money. Now, that's Word of Faith teaching right down the line. And let me tell you, they may not always say it, but it's what they believe. And just because, we're going to preach now, just because Ken Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Mike Murdoch, and most of the heretics that come over TBN name the name of Jesus, it does not mean that they are preaching the same Jesus that's in this Bible. And the church needs to know that. No longer are the demons following after gospel preachers, most of the demons are in pulpits now. I believe with all of my heart, Ken Copeland's demon-possessed. I believe Mike Murdoch is demon-possessed. Because you sense the spirit that is on them when they teach and preach, and it is not the Holy Spirit. And they do not glorify the Jesus of Scripture. They have made a way of salvation. They have made a Jesus who is not the Jesus of Scripture. And it would have been very easy for Paul in this situation to have thought, I've done what the Lord told me to do, and look where it landed me. And I'm sure Satan suggested that to him as he and Silas were sitting there. But here's, know this. Here's the first thing that the Lord, I believe, wanted brought out today. No matter what situation you find yourself in, even if you didn't deserve it, number one, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon that which is eternal in nature and not in the here and now. Because everything that's in the here and now is a temporary situation. I don't care how bad it is for you this morning. The Lord wants you to know it's a temporary situation. Because you've got all, hallelujah, we're going to have all of eternity to spend in a glorified body walking streets of gold with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That first second in glory is going to make up for all the hell that we had to go through down here. And that's what Paul's mind was attuned to. And he did not allow his mind to hear that voice of Satan and start feeling sorry for himself. Well, they didn't bring me meals this week. They must not love me. Oh, this is good preaching this morning. You always tell, it gets real quiet when you're preaching good. Most people think when you're preaching good, there's shouting going on. No, when you're preaching good, it usually gets quiet. I'm not saying because it applies to you, and I'm not talking down to nobody. I'm just saying I think you're thinking on the spiritual points that are coming forth is what I'm saying. Paul wouldn't allow his mind to go there. He knew. I love the Scripture. I know in whom I have believed, he wrote. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That was Paul's mindset as he sat in his prison. I'm going to tell you something. I believe the Lord had so conditioned him, and his faith was so much in Jesus Christ, that when Satan began to suggest to him, look at you now, Paul. Look at where all this preaching and this big bold stand got you now. And I believe in his mind, he immediately knew the voice of Satan. And I've got to believe, based on what happens next, as he said, Satan, you shut up. You're nothing but a liar. My home is secure in Jesus Christ. My position is sure in Jesus Christ. And it was so dark in that prison that I doubt he could even see Silas sitting next to him if you study the kind of prison that they were in. They probably couldn't even see one another. It was so dark and dank and smelly with open sewage running through it. And the great apostle don't even allow his mind to drift there because he knows his Jesus. He knows in whom he has believed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he turns to Silas in that darkness. And he says, hey, Silas, let's pray. Glory to God. The power of prayer is the greatest weapon you have at your disposal as a believer. When we utter that phrase, in the name of Jesus, the throne room of heaven bends its ear to our attention. Glory to God. Glory to God. How great what Jesus has done for us on the cross. What awesome privilege he has afforded us through his vicarious, victorious sacrifice on that cross. He has opened up the throne room of God the Father for you and I. Hallelujah. How often do we say it? And I know we mean well, and I'm guilty of it myself. Well, all we can do is pray. As if that's such a weak thing, you know. Well, we're so weak, all we can do is pray. Never forget, when we say, in the name of Jesus, whoa, glory to God, that veil that hung in the temple was ripped. According to Hebrews, we have access to the very throne room of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul refuses to feel sorry for himself. Can you imagine him saying, well, if my fellow believers would come and minister unto me right now, I'd be all right. No, he's not. His faith's in Jesus. Don't trust in people. People will never do what you think they ought to do. Can I miss a great chance for all of us to say amen there? People will never perform to the level we think they ought to perform to. That's why we got to look unto Jesus. That's what Paul knew. He knew the church ain't going to help me out of this. They may have wanted to. I don't know. We're not told. I got to believe they did, but there wasn't nothing they could do. But he wasn't there. He refused to feel sorry for himself spiritually. Lord, I wish I could have performed better in my midnight hour than what I did, because, can I be frank with you, I felt sorry for myself. Well, Lord, here I am just trying to obey you. I'm just preaching your gospel, preaching exactly what you tell me to do. And Lord, I love people, but they hate me. Hey, Jesus said, if they've called me a wine bibber, if they've called me demon-possessed, what do you think they're going to say about you if you come in my name? But yet we're shocked by this, aren't we? We're shocked by it when it happens. We shouldn't be. But Paul refused. Paul refused to allow his mind to go there. And he turns to Silas and says, hey, Silas. And Silas, through that dark, dank, stinky hell hole, says, yeah, Paul. I'm sure he couldn't even see him. It was so dark. He says, Silas, let's call upon Jesus. He'll help us some way. My Lord, my Lord. And they said, I can hear them in that cell. Probably spoke in tongues and cried out in the name of Jesus. Lord, we need your help right now. We're not blaming you for being here. We're not going to blame you. We've obeyed you. And we don't understand. It's okay to admit to him you don't understand everything. He don't expect us to understand everything. He just expects us to believe him. That's really all it requires. He doesn't call us to figure everything out. He calls us to believe him. And they're saying, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life for us on the cross. And the Bible says they prayed. And after they finished praying through that darkness, I can just hear Paul. Because they're re-energized now. You say, how do you know that? Because next thing they say, let's sing a hymn. You can't sing if there's not joy in your heart, especially him. You can't sing if there's not joy there. And after that prayer, the Lord, how many times has God done this for me in my life? When I've prayed for him in my midnight hour of despair and seeming hopelessness, I've called upon him. And immediately the situation hasn't changed, but yet I felt in my heart and knew in my spirit, I have touched heaven and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is at work for me right now. I don't know what he's going to do. Yes, give him a hand of praise. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. But with this prayer, I touched the throne room of God. And I have been given an affirmation and a confirmation from the Holy Spirit that my God is not going to fail me. He's going to bring me through this. He's going to give me victory some way. And when you get that confirmation, you can sing. And I wish the Holy Spirit would have told us what they sang, you know. But I understand why it didn't, so we can insert whatever song we wanted there. And allow me just a little bit of latitude this morning. You know what I believe they sang? I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised he will open all of heaven. And brother, this could be that very day. Hallelujah! And the Bible says in the midnight hour, the darkest time of night, the jailhouse rocked. If I can borrow from Elvis, this might have been where he got his inspiration from. The jailhouse rocked at midnight. Glory to God, as God answered that prayer and praise and sent an earthquake at the right time. And watch this. The Bible says all their chains fell off. Glory to God. Glory to God. God was giving them confirmation by that earthquake. I'm with you. You're doing what I've told you to do. And nobody can watch this. Nobody can take your life or do anything to you unless I tell them they can do it. You don't go. I might allow them soon, Paul, and soon Paul would give his life for the cause of the gospel. But that was in God's time. It wasn't God's time yet. There was not any place on this earth that could have held Paul because it wasn't God's time for him and Silas to go yet. God had work yet for him to do. And if you're breathing, If you're breathing, if there's a breath in you, there's still hope. That means God's still got something for you to do. God's still got his hand on you. God's in that midnight hour with you, whatever form it may take. He's there with you. Pray unto him. Call upon his name, and he will answer you, and he will help you. And as they're sitting there, and they're still beaten beyond recognition probably. But the earthquake comes, and the chains fell, and the Bible says that the doors of the prison cells fly wide open. Now, you got to admire the faith of what happens next. They don't leave. Now, if that had been me, I'd have been praising God for the miracle, and I went flying out of that jail like Saddam Hussein from a Green Beret picnic. I mean, I would have been, you know, getting out of Dodge, man. Whoo, God's delivered me. Yeah, I would have, Mom. I appreciate your faith in me, but it's not right. But anyway, Paul, they didn't leave. Why? Because there was a Philippian jailer there that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to win. That's the value of a soul to God. That's the value of one soul to God. The chains have fallen. The prison doors are open. The jailer comes running in. And he says, what must I do to be saved? It took that much to get him to recognize in the square. And he was probably there. This jailer was in the square. When he saw Paul cast the demon out, this possessed woman. But that didn't open his eyes to the fact that this was a man of God. And the Philippian jailer, he says, what must I do to be saved? And I'm going to make it short. We're running out of time. They preached Jesus to him. And what did that Philippian jailer do? He took him home. He fed him. He bound up their wounds. Now, there's a lesson in that for us. The Lord will always give us comfort. But not always will he immediately remove all difficulty. It's for his purpose. He could, of course, instantly healed Paul and Silas, took every scar that they had on them away. But he didn't. He provided comfort to them. That's the greatest thing the Lord will do for us in this life, is to comfort us with the knowledge that I'm with you. I'm with you. No wonder King David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. There's a mindset that we must have when we're facing our midnight hours, and we're all going to face them, where it's going to seem like you know, you called the pastor for prayer, and he prayed some weak, anemic prayer that you felt didn't do you no good at all. You called your best friend in the Lord who normally has all the words of knowledge and nine of the gifts of the Spirit operating through him, and all of that don't help you. And the Lord wants us to know he alone is enough. He alone is our sufficiency. He alone will always be more than what we'll require or need. And if we'll call on him and if we'll praise him, even when we don't feel like it, I'm going to tell you something. There's power in that, in praising him when you don't feel like it. Because if you properly understand what he has done for you and who he is, you've always got something to praise him for. I don't care if you've lost everything in this world. You can't lose your salvation. I mean, unless you choose to turn your faith on something else. He's not going to let you go. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He won't let us go. So you can lose everything in this world, but as long as your relationship to God is intact through faith in what Christ did for you on the cross, you're going to come out all right. And God's working his plan in your life, his will in our lives. And sometimes his will is going to involve pain and difficult situations. Oh, come on, shout and run aisles for me now. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I wish I could tell you different. This Bible teaches that, though. What we've studied this morning teaches that. Paul was obeying perfectly the will of God for his life. And look at what a horrible situation he found himself in. But in Romans chapter 8, he wrote that great scripture. that said, "For I am persuaded that neither height nor depth nor principalities of this world nor principalities and powers in the world to come shall separate us from the love of God." Praise the Lord. That's what we need to know. That's what we, you and I need to know in the midnight hour, because we're going to face midnight hours. They're going to come when we didn't deserve it. We've been doing, Lord, help my mind. I'm going to use me. I've got such a tendency to think of, and I'm ashamed to admit this, but I have to, the Lord's helping me on it. I'm growing. I still got a long ways to go. But I'll think, man, I've read my Bible a lot this week. I've prayed and sought God. It's going to be a good week. Or, things should be going really good. And my goodness, all hell break loose. And there's a tendency to think, well, I just want to give up. I don't know why God's, I've just done everything I can do for him. And I don't want to put it on you. I start throwing up all of my good works, and the Holy Spirit, thank God for the Holy Ghost, has to grab me and pull me back to the cross and remind me, Greg, all of your works mean nothing. It's good you read your Bible this week extra amounts. It's good you prayed extra amounts, and I've blessed you for that. But it's by my grace. Don't ever forget that. Oh, I don't know. I don't mean to throw off on you, but I've got to believe as humans, to a degree, we're all like that. We're so quick to go to the default position of our soul, which is works and performance. And thank God, with this knowledge of Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Spirit always pulls me back to the cross. The Holy Spirit will always pull us back to the cross and remind us in this life. Jesus said it. He said, in the world, and literally what He was saying was, in this life that you're now living, in the world, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise God. Maybe you're in a midnight hour this morning. I don't know. I've got to believe some are. That's why the Lord had me preach this. If not, let me tell it to you like this. If you're not in a midnight hour this morning, take heed to what I told you, because there's one coming. Let that sink in. You may not be in one now, but there's one coming. There's one coming for you. When you've done all, you've been living for God, the best you know how, your faith in the cross, and wham, you have something horrific in your life that happens. It's so undeserved. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Maybe spiritually in that midnight hour, you're going to feel or find yourself spiritually in the same scenario that Paul and Silas found themselves in, a dark, dank, stinky place that you really did nothing to deserve to be there. It's in that time, turn your eyes to Jesus. Look to what He's done on the cross and know how much He loves you. And pray and call unto Him, and He'll help you out. He'll send you comfort. He will send you comfort. He may not immediately remove all the ramifications of the situation for His reasons, but He will provide you comfort. He will provide you power, and He will provide you strength to get through it. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't turn on Him. Don't become bitter at your brothers or sisters in Christ because blaming them, thinking, well, if only they had been here, like Martha told Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, Lord, if only you'd been here. It didn't matter. He had power and He rose Lazarus from the dead. Hallelujah. And your midnight hour that we're all going to face at one time or another, know that He's there and reach out in faith. Reach out in faith. This is real faith. And know that God is with you and begin to pray unto Him and ask Him to send you comfort and help, and He will do it. And before that comfort and help even shows up sometimes, begin to praise and worship Him like Paul and Silas did before it shows up. Before the help even comes, before the answer to your prayer even manifests itself. Because it will come. God will deliver. And I want to say this. I'm trying to be real in this message. I don't want to preach some pie in the sky message that don't work. It could have very well been God's time to take the Apostle Paul home. But if that's how God chose to do it, what greater victory is there? What greater victory would there have been if God said, it's time now. Paul, your mission's through. you're half alive anyway. Just come on home, you and Silas. What a victory day that would have been. Church, we can't lose. We cannot lose with our faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's this message. But in this particular midnight hour, it wasn't God's time to take him yet. And God was taking them through it so that some 3,000 years later, we could look back on this and we could see his character, the character of God, and how the Holy Spirit moves in our midnight hour. There would come the day when God would finally say, Paul, your mission's done. And they would kill him in a Roman prison. But in this life, we're going to have tribulation. But by faith, and that faith is our victory, and that's a very specific kind of faith. Faith in Christ and what he did at the cross. It will carry us through anything. His comfort and his presence will enable you and I to face anything this world can throw at us and come out victorious. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I feel that this morning. So your midnight hour is coming. And I pray the Holy Spirit has taken these few words I've tried to speak today and really stamped them and engraved them on our spirits. And indelibly so. Because in the midnight hour, you don't need to look to your church, your pastor, your brothers and sisters, as well-meaning and as helpful as God may use them at times to help you through things. Our ultimate help comes from Jesus Christ, him and him alone. Look unto the author and the finisher of your faith in your midnight hour, and he'll bring you through it. He'll bring you through it. He'll comfort you in it. Because if it's not his time to take you yet, victory's on the way for you. Some way, somehow, victory's going to manifest for you in that situation. Praise God. Would you give him a hand of praise this morning? Hallelujah. Would you stand? As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to read a scripture to you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Let these words of God sink into your spirit. Beloved, that tells us he's writing to believers. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Boy, that's usually my mindset. Lord, why did this happen? I didn't deserve this. Why is this going on? I've been doing the best I can do for you. That's thinking it strange when the fiery trial comes. Let's read it again. Beloved, think it not strange. In other words, the believer's mindset should be, I'm being persecuted for my faith. There's nothing weird about this. I should expect this. I'm serving my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom this secular world and the religious world hates. It shouldn't be strange to think that they're coming against me and they hate me and are trying to do me harm. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Man, in the Greek text, that means something that is not easy to be simplistic. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. It's definite. It's coming. The midnight hour is coming. You may not be in one now, but you're going to be in many more if Jesus tarries before we leave this planet. As though some strange thing happened unto you. Look at verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Jesus Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you on their part. He is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. When that midnight hour comes, the Bible says, rejoice. We have joy. But rejoicing means we got to go back to the source of that joy. The source of our joy is not what happens in this life. The source of our joy is what Jesus has done for us on the cross and what we can look forward to through all of eternity. So maybe you're in a midnight hour this morning as you stand where you are. And I'm going to ask everybody who will, would you come and present yourselves now at the altar of the Lord? Praise God. Praise God. As we stand in the presence of the Lord this morning with our heads bowed and eyes closed, and I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to move upon us at this altar this morning. Some of you are in your midnight hour right now. For others of you, there's going to be more coming down the road. But when they come, don't feel defeated. Don't start to feel sorry for yourself. Turn your mind to the Lord of glory, who gave his life for you, who has your eternal destiny in his hand. And know that whatever occurs in this life, he's allowing it. They couldn't have touched Paul and Silas had God not allowed them to. And you think, why would he do such things? Because God has the big picture. He knew that, like I said, 3,000 years from this time, or approximately 2,500, I guess I should say, there's going to be a little church in Springfield. There's going to be some people needing some encouragement in their midnight hour. And God let his servants, whom he knew he could trust to go through this, whom he knew would not turn their backs on him, he knew where their faith was and how spiritual they were, that they would do what he would want us to do. Call upon him and praise him and thank him for all of his good works toward us, knowing he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. If we do that in our midnight hours, when they come, our result will always be the same. He'll always give us victory, some way, somehow. It'll be different every time, but what we can rest assured of, his presence will be there. He will comfort us. And if we'll just keep believing him, victory will come some way, somehow. Praise God. If you're in a midnight hour this morning, I pray you'll do what I believe the Holy Spirit has shown us from the Word to do. I pray in your personal being right now, you'll do that. You'll pray and you'll rejoice in him and you'll sing a song of victory unto him, knowing that your God will not fail you. And maybe you're embarrassed to do it here in front of it. That's fine. Do it at home. You don't need to be in church to do this. Do it at home when it's just you and him. All it was here in this cell was Paul and Silas. They couldn't even see one another. Do it in your time at home when you're alone with the Lord. And the Lord, who seeth in private, the Bible says, will give you victory in public. Praise God. Praise God, or the Lord who heareth in private, I should say. Let's just believe him right now. And I pray that if you're not in a midnight hour this morning, that you'll know when one comes now, you'll think back on this day. And you won't blame other people. You won't hold other people at fault. You won't become self-righteous and think, well, I didn't deserve this, and become angry with God. You'll know that your God's a good God. His character can always be trusted. And for his will, you're being allowed to go through difficulty and pain. And he'll get glory out of it. He'll get glory out of it. Let's go to him in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Lord, first of all, we repent. Lord, we repent of our selfishness. We repent, Lord, of our self-righteousness. Lord, you are a good, good God. You're always good. Lord, forgive us if we're in our midnight hour and we've blamed you. Forgive us, Lord, if we're in our midnight hour and we've looked to other people to provide our source of strength and our source of power. Lord, we repent of all that and ask you to wash our lack of faith and our unbelief away in the precious blood of Jesus. And Lord, now we turn unto the author and the finisher of our faith. We look unto Jesus, from whence our help comes. Hallelujah. And Lord, we call upon you today, asking you to help us, asking you to comfort us. And Lord, we claim today and we sing the song of victory today that in Jesus Christ we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. In Christ we are more than conquerors. And we believe you today for that victory that now may seem nowhere in sight, for that deliverance that at this moment in time may seem like it's a million miles away.
But we reach out by faith today, knowing our God is a good God, knowing our Jesus has paid a very precious and high price for us to have the victory that He won. And we reach out in faith today, and we claim victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we sing your praise right now for that victory. We sing your glory, for you are the provider of that victory. You are the obtainer of that victory, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know right now, spiritually, the jail of our midnight hour is rocking. Hallelujah. Glory to God, because we have called upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who loves us and has given His life for us and will comfort us and will ultimately give us victory in every situation. And Lord, sometimes faith alone is our victory. We praise you today, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that when the world's gone crazy, we have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what I believe has been a mighty work done in our hearts and lives today by the Word of God and the agency of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we're going to get through all the midnight hours because you're going to be there with us. Praise God. Praise God. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise today. Glory to God. Thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been great to be in God's house with you today. We'll see you on Wednesday night. We're beginning to study the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate in Romans, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. This week we're going to conclude a small section, but we'll spend maybe a week or two on it in 1 Corinthians 13. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Come out and be with us if you can. And Carla, I'm going to ask you, would you come dismiss us in prayer today? Thank you. Did I do okay with this mic?